Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Only theistic prayer can satisfy the requirements according to a federal court. This is a big victory for religious liberty in a prayer case coming out of Pennsylvania. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, a federal court of appeals has now ruled that barring atheists from providing invocations at the start of the legislative sessions do not violate the First Amendment or the Constitution. A three-judge panel ultimately issued this decision. One of the judges dissented in the case, but the decision is a great victory for religious freedom. In fact, the lower court actually ruled in favor of the atheist. This all began at the Pennsylvania House of Representatives regarding its invocation policy, which ultimately decided that an atheist that wanted to use this forum as an opportunity to literally inject animosity towards Christians and Christian viewpoints, that that wasn't going to be happening. And the atheist filed suit. The lower court ruled in favor of the atheist. Pennsylvania House of Representatives appealed that decision, and now the Court of Appeals decided in favor of the House of Representatives' policy and against the atheist. So this is good news. Circuit Judge Thomas Ambrose wrote the majority opinion that the policy is legal, quote, because only theistic prayer can satisfy the historical purpose of appealing for divine guidance in lawmaking, the basis for the Supreme Court taking as given that prayer presumes a higher power, close quote.
Absolutely. You know, you think about the foundation of the House's practice of beginning its legislative sessions with prayer. That dates back to, I believe, Benjamin Franklin, doesn't it? In the beginning, earliest days of the Commonwealth and our nation, and the current House practice is simply a continuation of that historical tradition. So what an insult it would be to say that an atheist could begin a prayer session.
Yeah, and you know, this is what they try to do. They try to say they want to do an invocation, but their invocation is very hostile, typically against the Christian, Judeo-Christian viewpoints. They're just wanting to use that opportunity to denigrate religion and Christianity in particular. Well, this particular policy was one that says that the invocation had to be an invocation. I mean, it was a theistic prayer, not some political statement. And so the organization, the Radical Freedom from Religion, the name says it all, Freedom from Religion, it's not a free thinker organization. It is openly hostile, probably one of the most openly hostile organizations that fights against Christian, Judeo-Christian viewpoints, history, and heritage. That was the organization that issued the petition. They wanted to ultimately challenge this, and they were successful in the lower court, but not at the Court of Appeals. And this is not the only case that has recently come down to uphold legislative prayer. There is the District Court of Columbia decision that also did the same thing, where there was an attempt by others to inject a non-theistic prayer. The District Court of Columbia ultimately ruled in favor of the policy, allowing religious viewpoints and prayer. And as you said, Holly, you go back to before there was a Constitution, mm-hmm. before there was a First Amendment, before they ever signed their name onto the Constitution of the United States of America. They came through the Revolutionary War, and they got together now that they're an independent country, and they want to form an independent nation, the 13 colonies. And so they're in Pennsylvania, and they're in Philadelphia, and they are having the first Continental Congress, if you will, discussions, if you will, about the form of government. And some people wanted this form of government. Some people thought this other form of government is better or worse. They had lots of history that they were drawing from about previous governments. They had, of course, the British form of government. They didn't want that. And it eventually started to fall apart. And that's when Benjamin Franklin said, as he stood up, there is as many yeas as there are nays.
Mm-hmm.
For every yea, there's a nay. And he ultimately implored them. Remember when we gathered, some of us in this very same place, when our lives were at danger, right, we implored God. And we have heard him, and he intervened into our affairs. And now, have we come to the point where we have forgotten our most powerful friend, or do we think that we no longer have any need of him? And he says, I implore you from henceforth, every time we gather, that we should open our meetings with prayer. And so what they did is they stopped the meeting. They went into a long prayer session that lasted a couple of days. Some of the founding fathers were actually already departing. They were going back. They thought that the Constitutional Convention was over, that there was just no progress made. You know, you think about some of the partisan issues that we see happening today in Washington. They're not necessarily new.
Right.
They were trying to debate, now that they have this opportunity, what kind of government are we going to be? How are we going to protect the freedom that we've now achieved and obtained? And so it was through this prayer meeting, and John Adams, first vice president, second president, who also penned and was very involved in the Massachusetts Constitution, he ultimately wrote home to Abigail Adams, and he talked about the power that he experienced of prayer during those sessions of prayer. And so they came back after they had soaked everything in prayer, and a few weeks later becomes born the Constitution of the United States of America. And so when the Supreme Court has taken up these cases regarding legislative prayer at the state level, for example, they've gone back to say, look, prayer predates the First Amendment. It
right.
predates the Constitution. The same people who wanted to pray ultimately were the same people who crafted the Constitution and the First Amendment. They wouldn't craft a document that was against their practices. And the very first act, the very first vote of the Congress after it was convened, after it became the United States, was to authorize a chaplain and to pay that chaplain out of the federal money to be able to open every session with prayer. Going all the way back to Benjamin Franklin, they understood the importance of prayer. That's why prayer has been at every opening event, every opening time of House and Congress. They always open it with prayer. And that has also been true on the state levels as well.
You know, to be a fly on the wall during those first meetings would have been amazing, because we see today as legislators on the other side are trying so hard to take God out of, you know, our legislative, our schools, our everything. You see what's happening as a result. You know, so I commend this representative in the Pennsylvania House for who was, you know, accused of weaponizing the name of Jesus while she delivered a prayer, you know, but she said, I have no reason to apologize. I do not apologize ever for praying. So we need more lawmakers like that who are willing to stand up for the truth, who are willing to stand up for God, because ultimately he is the reason we exist.
Yeah, what you have here are two different situations. You have the policy that was challenged by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and then you also have a state representative, Representative Stephanie Borowicz, mm-hmm. and she's a Republican. And she spoke about 2 minutes in her prayer in Pennsylvania. She spoke about 2 minutes regarding Jesus and the importance of faith. And she got pushback, but
right.
she stood her ground. So what we have here is a history of prayer that goes back to before the Constitution. You don't have to wonder what the Constitution has to say on this issue. In fact, most of these issues regarding religious freedom and other issues, the issue of the sanctity of human life, they're fairly simple. If you go back to the original intent of the Constitution, it is encouraging to see the courts looking at the history. Prayer predated the Constitution. The same people that also authorized, participated, promoted, advocated prayer, wrote the Constitution, wrote the First Amendment. Obviously, it's consistent. It's not
mm-hmm.
unconstitutional.
Right.
It didn't change. If we had that approach regarding the original understanding and intent of the Constitution in all things, there would be a much easier way to interpret the Constitution. It's fairly clear.
And, you know, we need to pray for these people in the organizations like the Freedom for Religion Foundation, because if they are so offended by the name of God, by Jesus, they definitely need him.
No question about that. Well, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. A good decision coming out of the Federal Court of Appeals involving the Pennsylvania State Legislature on prayer. You can go to lc.org for more information. You can become a prayer partner and a financial partner with Liberty Counsel as well. You can go to the subscribe page and subscribe free of charge to our newsletters and emails, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.